All kinds of time for Magoo. He's got a man open. It's the tight end, Sternberger, all the way home for the touchdown.
Second and three. Williams steps up in the pocket, delivers a strike for a touchdown right down the middle of that defense to Isaiah Henny, his favorite target.
First down off the play fake. McLeod Bethel Thompson open in the end zone. Touchdown, Johnny Dixon. 30-yard touchdown pass.
Barry fumbled the snap, scoops it up. He's got running room. Can he get around the corner? He does. Touchdown, and Michigan takes the lead.
Welcome to USFL Game Plan, brought to you by USFL Today on Fox Sports Radio, New Jersey, 93.5 FM, 1450 AM. I'm your host, Angelo Fioris. Welcome to the show. After 10 weeks and 40 games, we're whittled down to four teams who are meeting tonight in Canton and tomorrow night in Birmingham, Alabama, as we try to determine who the two combatants will be in the USFL Championship game next Saturday, July 1st at Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium, again in Canton, Ohio. It was an exciting finish to the season. You heard the big plays for each of the four teams that have found their way into the playoffs, and now we are here. Got a big show planned for you today. Lots of guests, starting with quarterback Troy Williams of the Pittsburgh Maulers stopping by. Kicker Cole Murphy of the Michigan Panthers will be joining us. And from the South Division, we've got offensive lineman from the Birmingham Stallions, D. Gray, and safety Jarae Elder of the New Orleans Breakers. And Luke Miller of the Pro Football Newsroom will be joining us to dissect each of these two games. A big part of the Maulers' resurgence in the late part of the season is due to their offense starting to pick things up. And a lot of that is attributed to the talents of their quarterback, Mr. Troy Williams, who we welcome to USFL Game Plan today. Troy, congratulations, first of all.
Appreciate that. Thanks for having me.
How's it feel to have pulled off what people said you could not do 8 weeks into this season, and now here you are hosting the playoff game as division champion?
Mm-hmm. Feels good. Work's definitely is not done, but it does feel good to be in this position, just, knowing and watching everything that we went through this year, a bunch of tough losses, and, it's good to, have this opportunity to be able to advance next week.
One of the things Coach Horton said just a week ago was that all of the goals that you had in front of you at week one were still there for you in week 10. And now here we are, week 11, Troy, and they are still there for you. Talk about what the preparation has been like in the locker room leading up to this game tonight.
We've been very focused, just as, we've been the same all year. I feel like the focus and the preparation has been good all year. We just let a couple games slip away here and there, a couple tough finishes. But the energy is good. Everybody's ready to play, so I'm excited to get out there Saturday.
It was good to see you guys, although you took a lot of shots and a lot of punches, so to speak, along the way in those first 8 weeks. Nobody lost faith in that locker room from the top right on down. And although you guys were the only team heading into week 9 that did not string a winning streak of at least two games together, when the spotlight was the brightest, you guys pulled that off. Talk about winning these two games in a row and what that means for yourselves as a team and for your own sort of, opinion of yourself, so to speak.
It's good for the camaraderie. We've been, great in the locker room all year. Even when things didn't go our way, guys didn't quit, never flinched, we didn't blink. We just continue to focus on each week at a time. And, that's probably been the biggest thing for us, just staying focused throughout, whatever happens, no matter what, win, lose, or draw. We have to focus on what we can control and go into next week with that same mindset. So that's been helping us a lot. We've been confident all year. We have, great guys on both sides of the ball. I think we tied for most guys that made all USFL. So, yeah. We have a great group of guys here, and we just continue to believe in that.
So now you're facing a Michigan team, which you guys swept. You beat them 19-7 just 2 weeks ago, and back in week 4, you defeated them 23-7. So the defense seems to be dialed into what Michigan's doing offensively. Talk about what you guys have to do against a defense that also has a couple of all USFL performers.
We just have to stay consistent in what we've been doing the past couple weeks, and just make sure, we continue to everybody just does their job and make plays when the players are there. Just continue to move the ball down the field, score in the red zone, and, you know, take control of the clock and just do what we do best. You know, run the ball when we can, and, you know, make the plays in the pass game. And, you know, just continue to stay consistent with the game plan. I think we'll be okay.
Talk about your development during the course of the season. It wasn't until around week three when the team seemed to settle on you as the guy. And it took till about week five against Birmingham before you really seemed to get full confidence and the full support of the team behind you there, where everyone seemed to say, hey, this is the guy. So talk about what these last 5 weeks have been like now as you guys establish yourselves as a playoff team.
It's been good for me just learning, you know, getting the in-game live reps. You know, it had been a while prior to this season before I played, you know, an actual game. So, you know, I try to remind myself, you know, it's been a while, bro. So, you know, don't get discouraged, you know, just continue to have faith in yourself and continue to believe in the game plan. And, you know, things will get better down the road with more reps and just, you know, seeing and just really playing ball. You know, I feel like you get better at things when you're actually out there doing it, you know, regardless of what the coaches and everything are calling, you know, you still have to, you know, just get in a rhythm and just have the feel of the game. So that's been the biggest thing for me being successful, you know, here late in the season.
Thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy day as you prepare for the biggest game of the season for the Maulers and the Panthers. And I wish you and the rest of the Maulers a lot of luck tonight, Troy.
Sir, thank you. Appreciate that. Much love.
Much love to you. Troy Williams, quarterback of the Pittsburgh Maulers, right here on USFL Game Plan. Much like the Maulers, the Michigan Panthers traveled an unlikely route to this playoff game and clinching their spot last week with an incredible comeback against the Philadelphia Stars, mostly driven by the performance of the special teams. So to come on and talk about that game with us, as well as their opportunity for tonight, is kicker Cole Murphy of the Michigan Panthers. Cole, welcome to USFL Game Plan. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on again. It's great to reconnect with you. And we weren't sure a couple of weeks ago if we'd be having this conversation, but lo and behold, here you guys are in the playoffs. What's that feel like after the kind of year you've had?
It feels really, really good. You know, it's hard to really describe it. I mean, if you go into week five, week six, we really didn't feel like this was going to happen, but here we are and we've made the most of it.
You guys had a very difficult stretch in the middle there where you had the four straight home games and you didn't win any of them, which was kind of rough. But then you came back home for the last game of the year. You had a nice crowd behind you. The Stars doing what the Stars do best got you down early, but this team did not quit. Talk about what it was like on the sidelines while you fell behind by two scores.
I mean, it's frustrating. You know, when things aren't going your way, it's really best just to dig deep and figure out what you need to do and fix the mistakes that you're making. I think we did a good job at halftime kind of getting things together. And then we came back out the second half and we've, you know, historically throughout the whole year, we've done that where we made good adjustments. We come back out and we're playing much better football. And then we've made it a close game at the end. And yeah, I think we had enough time and we made things work.
Yeah, that was one of the difficulties you guys faced during the year, was just kind of running out of time at the end as you were trying to make your push across the finish line in a number of games during the season. But this game was interesting because you guys hung in there until the game turned your way. It was interesting. You were just kind of doing little things to stick around, kicking a field goal, kicking another field goal, and then the block punt, which was the biggest special teams play of the game. And then you, of course, nailing a 51-yarder, and you guys win by three.
Yeah, I mean, it was huge. I mean, Marcus played lights out. I mean, he blocked two punts. I mean, he had, I think, three out of his four kickoff returns were past the 50. I mean, he really played super well. I'm surprised he didn't score a touchdown on one of the kickoff returns too. I mean, he's really, really good as a returner. And it just, I mean, it sparked us. You could tell once that happened, all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's a one score game. It's 5 points. We can make this happen. And I mean, really, we turned it around once that happened. And that's football in general. When you have one big play that you can feel the tide of the game change, as long as the momentum doesn't stop, you're probably going to win that game.
And that's exactly what happened there. And I got to tell you, Cole, watching from my seat on television, I felt that instant shift in the momentum of the game as well. And I was not in that crowd and I was not on those sidelines. So there was no question that you guys were spurred, as well as the Stars kind of becoming a bit shell-shocked from that play turning out the way that it did. And all of a sudden, roles reversed and you guys were in complete control of that game, even though you were behind. Really, really impressive, and a great job by the coaching staff to keep you guys together and focused during that game. And a great job by all the players and all your teammates to continue to stay the course and understand that you were not out of that game.
Yeah, 100%. Well, and that's how this game goes, especially in this league, where you can be down by 9 points and it's still a one-score game. And that's one of those things that you don't really get in the NFL, where you feel like you're down by, you know, 8 points, 9 points, and you're like, oh man, we really have to score twice. In this league, it really becomes anyone's game. But because the clock is shorter, things become it's a little bit faster, right? Where if you get and I think that's what happens with Philly a lot of the time. They get ahead early, like you said, and then teams just don't have enough time to kind of recover. Whereas in the NFL, actually, my punter Kyle and I were talking about this 2 days ago. If there's 8 minutes left in an NFL game, you're like, okay, there's three possessions left. Like things are going. If there's 8 minutes left in a USFL game, it's like each team's getting the ball maybe once. If they're lucky, they'll get it one more time. And it's like, if you're really, really managing the clock super well. It's things like that that are huge, huge differences.
And now you've got the Maulers on Saturday night, a team that has knocked you guys off twice. So what is the approach now? At least what's the locker room like, knowing that you're facing a team for the third time?
Well, I mean, when you really look at it, I feel like we've beat ourselves twice. I don't think they've beat us. I mean, if you look at the game, this last game that we played them, two interceptions are bobbled passes. That's just part of the game. You can't really control that. The first play of the game, their return was really good. They got down to the 30, and that's the only time that they scored a touchdown. So really, if you look at it, our defense played super well. We held them to four long field goals, and they made all four because Chris is really good, and he's very capable. They had that long punt from Matt Mangle. I mean, there's a lot of things that went their way that just didn't go our way, and that's just sometimes how the game goes. So I think from our standpoint, we understand, like, yeah, you know, they've beaten us twice, but in reality, that's not – kind of the case. I think we've beaten ourselves more likely than the former.
And knowing how difficult it is for a team to sweep another team, we saw that last year when New Jersey could not close that deal against Philadelphia. So precedent is there. It's a formula that we've seen before in football. So there's definitely a chance for you guys to make up for those two losses. And I wish you a lot of luck tonight, Cole.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate you joining us, and maybe we'll be speaking again next week leading into a championship game.
I plan on it.
Plans on it. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Cole Murphy, kicker of the Michigan Panthers, joining us right here on USFL Game Plan. Good luck tonight. I really like the confidence displayed by Cole Murphy and Troy Williams when speaking with them. And I got to tell you, both of these teams have done a very good job of shedding the stigma of being 4-6 and have embraced their position in the playoffs and the fact that they'll be playing for a championship berth. We will be right back with more USFL Game Plan. And when we return, our attention shifts to the South Division Championship game between the Birmingham Stallions and the New Orleans Breakers, a repeat of last year's South Division Championship game. And joining us will be D. Gray, offensive lineman for the Birmingham Stallions, and safety Jare Elder of the New Orleans Breakers. You're listening to USFL Game Plan on Fox Sports Radio, New Jersey, 93.5 FM, 1450 AM. Welcome back to USFL Game Plan on Fox Sports Radio, New Jersey, 93.5 FM, 1450 AM. I'm your host, Angelo Fioris, and it's time to turn our attention to the South Division Championship game. It's a rematch of last year. The Birmingham Stallions, the home team, facing the New Orleans Breakers. They split during the season. To talk about that game and the season, let's bring on their offensive lineman, Mr. D. Gray. How you been? Good to see you.
Man, I appreciate you bringing me on, man, to talk on behalf of my team, man, because it took a team effort to get right here, man. But I've been great myself, man. Glad, man. Blessed, man. The happy position I'm in right now, man. Healthy, man. So no complaints, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing wonderfully. It's been an awesome season. I have loved watching every one of the eight teams because everybody has had their moments during the year. That is for sure. But you guys have had the most moments out of anybody, rolling to that 8-2 record and clinching the division a week before everybody else even had a chance to think about playoffs. And now here you are hosting the game. You're going to have a great crowd tomorrow night. Let's talk about that. How's everybody feeling now as they gear up to prepare to defend the crown?
Man, we more excited than we ever been, man. Right now it's a reset button, man, for the season was the season, man. The season's over now. Now it's post-football, post-season football right here where it's most important than any part of the season. And I think, man, the last couple of weeks, man, we've been playing strong, man. Yes, the Houston game, we came out a little rough, but, man, we got it together real fast, man, to come out with a win, to give put us in this position, man, where we didn't have to fight for anything last week. Only thing we fought for is the crown, the crown of the South, man. So, man, we had a hell of a group right there, man. We had a lot of guys led by our quarterback, Alex Magoo, man. So, man, I mean, like I said, I can't really have no complaints, man. Man, this has been a powerful team, man, all year, man. And offensive line been strong. Defense has been great for us all year, man. Creating turnovers, stuffing the run, man. Controlling the ball, deep balls, man. So, man, I take my hat off to our defense, man. We had a special group, man. Offensive, and of course our kicker, man. Our punter, man. He's been putting guys back on the 1 yard line all year, man. So
he's USFL. Pretty good.
All USFL guy, man. So, man, have you seen, man, we got a good group, man. So I'm excited, man, to see the outcome of Protective this week, man, and who come out to support us, man. We need all the support, man, this week, man.
This is the week, right? If people are going to come out and support you guys, it's tonight. It's the first championship, first playoff game, rather, in
Sunday
Birmingham
night.
In a long time. Sunday night, excuse me. And let's talk about, you mentioned Alex Magoo, Super Magoo. What's it like blocking for a guy who has the ability to give you extra time to block for him by running around the way he does in the backfield there to make a play?
Well, Alex, man, he makes things a little more easy for us up front, man. Sometimes we find ourselves in trouble, which we don't a lot of times. We really don't find ourselves in a lot of trouble. But if those cases do come apart, man, come upon us, man. Alex is a great guy, man, to get out, escape trouble, man, and do it with his legs, man. And then one thing about Alex I commend him on is when he threw these things with his legs and move around the pocket, his eyes is always standing on the field and create a big play. So, man, most guys, man, is always one dimension. When they run. It's not running and they looking down the field to make a bigger play. And he's an unselfish guy, man. Like, once again, man, he's a great player to play with, man. It's nothing bad to really say about Alex. He's a competitor. He takes hits, man. He's willing to put his body on the line for his guys, man.
He reminds me, his vision, the way he keeps his head up and his eyes on the field, he reminds me of a soccer player much, where they're dribbling with the ball at their feet, but always looking around at what they're going to 100%. Do next. One play in particular, D, that stands out to me, and I guess it's because I was there. It was the Pittsburgh game where you guys were somewhere around about the 15-yard line, and Alex scrambled around for about 22 seconds, and he ducked out of about three different sacks, and you guys were scrambling from left to right and back and forth, keep blocking for him, and then he throws the touchdown pass. It was such an amazing play. Yeah. I was standing there on the sidelines. It happened right in front of me, and my jaw dropped, and all I said was, wow.
Man, he's an exciting player, man. Once again, like I said, he just brings the fun out of football for us, man. He's just like, when you sit back and just watch this guy film, he's electrifying, bro. Like, it's just like everything about him just makes you like, wow, like, how did he do that? And it just shows that he's athletic enough to move around the pocket, man. He creates extended plays. And for Alex, man, when he's extended plays, most likely times a big plays. So, man, once again, man, he deserved everything he got today, man. All USFL honors. Once again, the O-line won't need no love, man. The world sees what we does up front for him, man. We need no love, man. Our love we need is just a championship ring.
And that championship ring is within your grasp on Sunday night. D. Gray, thank you for joining us. I wish we had more time. I always want to talk more with you than the time allotted. But good luck to you and the Birmingham Stallions on Sunday night. And we'll talk to you again, hopefully next week, in a championship game situation.
Yo, for sure, man. Definitely, man. Love to come back on next week or later this week, man. It's whatever, man. We can always chop it up, man.
Mr. D. Gray of the Birmingham Stallions, thank you.
I appreciate you.
The New Orleans Breakers began the season as the hottest offense in the league, but as the middle of the year started to roll around, the offense stalled a bit and the defense picked things up. To talk about the defense and what they plan to do against the Birmingham Stallions, we bring in New Orleans Breakers safety, Mr. Jarray Elder, back to the show. Jarray, welcome. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good, Jure. The last time you and I spoke, you had just completed that long drive from Pennsylvania to Birmingham, I think like two nights before camp opened, and you still came on the show to talk with us. So it's great to see you again.
Yeah, for sure. It seems like that long drive was forever ago, but we're already here in playoffs and getting ready for that.
It's amazing, right? When we were speaking, it was mid-March. Here we are now in mid-June. 10-week marathon has gone by. You guys have had a lot of ups, a couple of downs, but now you're knocking on the door facing the Stallions on the home field that you guys both share in a huge game on Sunday night. Talk about what it feels like to have accomplished the first step of your goal, which was to get to the playoffs.
Yeah, early on, Coach, we talked about our goals as a whole team and being in the playoffs, obviously, and playing for a championship was all part of our goals. So everything's still sitting here in front of us. Like you spoke earlier, we went through like a little bit of a slump in a season where we're just trying to connect and get things back to where we wanted to be, sitting there having team meetings without coaches and seeing what, as a team and players, what we want from one another. So now we got that stuff figured out, and we're going into playoffs now and playing Birmingham on our home field and
Yes.
looking to get the rights and the, you know what I mean, to that home field and take over Sunday. So we're looking forward to that.
There was a couple of games in the early part of the season where you guys kind of gave up a bunch of points, but the offense managed to still outscore the opposition. But somewhere around the New Jersey game, something seemed to click, and you guys have been on a run defensively since then, only average allowing an average of about 15 points a game. What was that turnaround all about? What happened there to make you guys sort of click all of a sudden?
Yeah, it's a team game. There's things that's going to go right offensively some days and things that go wrong. And same way on the defensive side and special teams. So coming together as a unit, I think it's been our biggest focus. Like I spoke about, coming together as a team and figure out what we really want. And defensively as well, we hold ourselves to a high standard, and playing up to that standard is nothing more important than that. Holding each other accountable day in and day out and executing coach's game plan has been huge. And I feel like that's where we've been taking steps, just executing the game plan and everyone doing their 111.
You guys have been executing at a very high level the last couple of weeks. You've only allowed 3 points and 10 points in your last couple of games in the two biggest games of the season. So now you're riding quite a wave heading into a big game against an offense led by Alex Magoo. Talk about the challenges now that the Birmingham offense presents to you.
Yeah, Alex Magoo is a great player, and he's surrounded by a lot of good players as well. The running back, the receiving threats, and the O line that make the blocks when they need to. Obviously, Alex can make plays on the ground and through the air, and he poses a threat for any defense. But like I said, we just got to come in and do what's asked of us, do what the game plan is asking of us. Coach does a great job week in and week out, building a game plan for us to go out and execute. So it comes down to, like I said, doing all of our 111. And going and doing it. He's going to run. He's going to throw. He's going to make plays. And that's what happens. We just got to stay even keeled and go out and think about the next play. It's never really about what happened that last play. It's about how you respond. So we got to come out and continue to respond and just grow throughout the game and continue to execute and get after him and the whole defense. It's not just about him. Like I said, he's surrounded by great players. It's going to be fun.
It should be a lot of fun. You guys have played two games. You split. Both of them were very close affairs, could have gone either way in both cases. And even in the first game where the Breakers won by 14 points, it was a one score game very late, as was the second game. And I guess we're all expecting the third matchup to be very similar, Jarek.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind if we blew them out personally. That make it a little bit less stressful and get ready for the next step. But yeah, I'm expecting it to be a really great game. Like I said, it's a whole great team. Offense is a good offense, defense is a good defense, and they play really well on special teams. And that's what good teams do at the end of the year, which we both are. So going into this game, I wouldn't expect anything less than for it to be a great game.
I was just saying to someone the other day, it felt to me like the New Orleans Breakers turned the corner and already became a playoff team. You guys are playing playoff style football already. Is that sort of the feeling in the locker room?
That's something we spoke about amongst each other. Like you, I mean, we were on a 3-game losing streak in the middle of the season, so we had to figure something out. So you want to be in important games toward the end of the season. We've been in important games since probably week seven, and just learning how to grow through that and go through what we're going through and grow through it. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's been playoff football, and there's nothing better than playoff football. So we just got to continue pushing and continue striving.
And hopefully you push through Sunday night and make it to the championship game. Jarray Elder, I wish you a lot of luck to you and the rest of the New Orleans Breakers. And maybe we'll see you next Saturday in Canton for the championship.
Well, you will be seeing us on Saturday in Canton.
The man has spoken. Jarray Elder, thanks for joining us.
Yes, sir.
We've reached that part of our show where we now try to predict what we think is going to happen on Saturday and Sunday nights. And to help me try to figure that out, I bring in the Pro Football Newsroom's Luke Miller. Luke, how you doing?
Doing well. Excited to talk about USFL for another week.
Yeah, one more week of multiple games. We start with Saturday's matchup between the Maulers and the Panthers. Luke, these two teams faced each other twice during the season. The Maulers won both. Amazingly. And you know the old adage, a team doesn't usually beat a team three times.
You know, that's true. But despite the adage, I do like the Maulers in this one. I think their defense is just too good to lose this game. Their offense has not been impressive necessarily, but between their offense and their special teams, they've been able to find ways to score points. I don't think it's going to take a lot to be able to beat out the Panthers this week. And I think between their kicker, their punt and kick returners, as well as some of their offensive weapons, they'll be able to scrape by enough to put up enough points to pull out the win.
And for the Panthers, they actually won a game last week, very much so in Mahler's fashion, using a QB who had just joined the team. I'm not so certain that that recipe is in the offing for this week, however, Luke, and I'm going to lean towards the Mahlers as well.
Yeah, you know, the Panthers obviously took a step forward with the win last week, but it was certainly, as you said, similar to the Maulers recipe, a lot of defense and a lot of special teams. If a few things had gone differently in that game, I'm not sure they would be here this week and we'd be talking about them. But to their credit, they were able to pull it out. A brand new quarterback this late in the season is a risky strategy, though, and I'm just not sure he's had enough time to gel with the offense to be able to lead them to victory this week.
We've got 1 minute left in the show. Let's talk about the Birmingham Stallions and the New Orleans Breakers real quick. These two teams split two very close games during the regular year. How do you see this playing out, Luke?
You know, I'm going to go with the Stallions again. They've got the best player in the league in Alex Magoo. Their defense has been playing really well and been really stingy in the red zone recently. I think they're just the most complete team in the league right now. And the Breakers are a close second, nipping at their heels. But between the energy of the crowd, the playmaking ability of Magoo and the coaching of Skip Holtz, I like the Stallions in this one.
It's going to be one of those coin flip games. Once again, I feel that it's going to be very similar to the first two affairs, and I will give the edge to the home team as well, but it wouldn't shock me if New Orleans pulled it out. Luke, enjoy the games. We will talk to you next week for our grand finale championship show.
Awesome. Looking forward to it.
Luke Miller of the Pro Football Newsroom. That's it for this week's playoff edition of USFL Game Plan on Fox Sports Radio, New Jersey, 93.5 FM, 1450 AM. I'm your host, Angelo Fioris. We are back one more time for the 2023 season, and that is next Saturday, 9 AM, for our USFL Championship Game Preview Show. Don't miss it. See you then.